How many know that fear can be paralyzing? Yeah? Come on. How many know that can do that? Fear can be limiting. And fear can keep you from realizing the ways that God is wanting to work in and through your life. It can keep you. And I think that the reason we fear simply is because we've lost focus. You know, focus on the things that truly matter. We can lose focus on, or turn our attention to secondary things and lose focus on Jesus and what he's doing and working in our life. You see, in this story we read this morning about a man named Obadiah. Obadiah in this story is a man who acted without fear. And we see that. We read in verses 3 and 4 that he actually defied the order of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel was this wicked queen. She was killing and persecuting the prophets of the Lord. And this guy acted with courage, and he hid these prophets. He hid them in this cave. And so Jezebel was murdering them all. This would have been like in World War II, where Christians would have been hiding Jews in their basements during the Nazi population, during the Nazi occupation. And so it would have taken some courage, you know, like to hide these people who were being persecuted. So Obadiah did that. But shortly after that, things get dry. Quite literally, things dry up. A drought comes in the land. God sends a drought, as a matter of fact. He sends it on the land of Israel for 3 years. And he does it for a specific reason and a specific purpose. He's doing the drought. He's sending the drought to get their attention. He's sending the drought to turn their hearts back to him. And as Obadiah's physical circumstances begin to dry up, his confidence in God's ability to move and work in his life also begins to dry up. And he lets fear sap his courage in a dry season of his life. How many of you have experienced a dry season in your life? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? I know I have before. I remember when I graduated high school, I was in a really dry season of my life. I didn't really know where I was going. I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing. I had no purpose, no direction. I did like a one-year discipleship program even. And I was in the church every single day praying and reading God's word. And I had a hard time hearing God's voice. And I didn't know where to go and what to do. And then after that, I worked at a car dealership for some period of time. Just a dead-end job. It was taking me nowhere. I saw no purpose in my life, no meaning. I feel like I couldn't go anywhere. And working, just wondering, why am I doing this? You see, a dry season is this. A dry season in your life is any period of time in your life where stress exceeds control, where circumstances go beyond our ability to handle them in our own strength. And it causes us to feel like the spring from which we've been drawing our water, to use that metaphor, that spring from which we've been drawing our strength, our supply, our security, our happiness, it feels like it's dried up. And a spring in your life can be anything. A spring in your life can be social media. A spring in your life can be your job. It can be your family. A spring in your life can be your friends. It can be something that you can control that brings you joy. And God gives us good things like this in our lives to bring us joy, to help us find happiness and to sustain us and all of these things. But every now and then, God will let those springs dry up so that they no longer meet our need, to remind us that only He can truly satisfy. Only He can truly be our source, our strength, our life. And as Obadiah finds himself in a season just like that, he begins to doubt God's ability to meet his needs. Where our physical needs of providing for himself, they begin to dry up around him, and it puts him in a place of stress. How many know that God will allow dry seasons in your life to remind us he can only be your source? Only he can be your strength. Here's the thing. God will allow stress in your life to exceed what you can control. He will allow you to go through dry seasons in your life. This is the crazy thing to consider. Some Christians have a simple belief that God will never let bad things happen to me. God will never let me go through tough and difficult times. And you quickly realize, if you've been through a difficult time, that's not true. That God will allow difficult things in our lives, but he doesn't allow them to cause us pain. He allows them to do one of two things. One of two things. When this happens, you've got two options. Number one, you turn your focus to fear and to what you can control and understand. Or number two, you turn your focus back to the source. You turn your focus back to the source of life, to God, who can truly fill you and satisfy you. And so in a season of drought, King Ahab turns to Obadiah and says, listen, buddy, we're taking option number one. You go that way, I'll go that way. And let's go in our own ability and our own understanding, our own strength, to find some grass to feed the horses. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to look for some grass. We're going to look for a puddle so that we can make sure that our horses don't die on our watch. But check this out. Check this out. As Ahab and Obadiah, they begin their journey to find the solution in their own power and their own ability. Notice the very beginning of the section, verse 1. Verse 1. Look at what God has already said. It's pulled up on the screen there. Verse 1. Later on, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, now go and present yourself to King Ahab and tell him, I will soon send rain. Here it is. This is the very first verse of the story. Before the narrative even begins, God has already said, help is on the way. He has already said, I am going to provide. But Obadiah doesn't know it, because he lost focus someplace along the way. And he's no longer that man of faith that we saw at the beginning of the story, hiding prophets in caves. He's no longer that man of courage, defying the queen and trusting God, knowing he'll make a way. No, now his focus is just on finding some grass. Now his focus is just on finding a puddle, just finding something small to get him through the next day. Because he's allowed fear to creep into his heart and keep in his life. You ever done that? I just got to find something just to get me through the next day. I just got to find something to get me through one more day. Some hit on social media. Maybe it's a drink. I got to get a drink just to get me through this evening. It's been a stressful season and period of my life. You know, I got to get something to numb the pain, pornography, just to get me through this next day. Because I'm so overwhelmed, I'm looking to something I can control. But God will allow stress to exceed our control to remind us that only He can be our strength. Fear has changed his focus. And so when the enemy, when Elijah finally meets him on the road, when Obadiah finally runs into the man of God who's actually bringing the good news to him, good news from God seems like bad news from an enemy, because his perspective and his focus has changed. Check it out with me. Check it out how fear clouds Obadiah's response. Verse 7 to 14. Read it with me. You can see fear in his voice all through this passage. Look at this. As Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw Elijah coming towards him. And Obadiah recognized him at once and bowed low to the ground before him. Is it really you, my lord Elijah? He asked. Yes, it is, Elijah replied. Now go and tell your master Elijah's here. Oh, sir, Elijah protested. What harm have I done to you that you're sending me to my death at the kings of Ahab? Now, is he sending him to his death at the king of Ahab? No, he's not. He said, go tell him that I'm here, because God has told me that I'm supposed to talk to him. But now he's beginning to freak out about this. He says, listen, I swear by the Lord your God, the king has searched every nation. There's been a manhunt for you, Elijah. Don't you understand the drastic ends that the king has gone to find you? And each time when he was told the king isn't here, he made that guy swear to tell the truth of his claim. Swear by it, or I'll knock you out. And now you just tell me, willy-nilly, Obadiah, go tell your master, Elijah is here. Man, but as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry me away to who knows where. He's just going to pick you up and drop you off someplace, and I'll show up and you won't be there. Then what am I going to do? Then I'll be in trouble. Hey, has no one told you about that time I saved the prophets? Has anyone told you that? Come on, because I'm a pretty good guy. Don't you remember that time? Don't you remember that time years ago when I acted with faith? And now you're asking me to do something different and difficult and hard. Isn't that enough? I don't need to do something now, do I? Can you hear the fear in his voice? I mean, he's terrified, right? And it's causing him to start extrapolating, imagining, going on about what possibly might happen. I know I've done this too. Has anybody ever experienced a stomachache in the night? Like you have pizza, and then like you go to bed later on, and you're laying there awake, and your stomachache kind of starts to hurt. Anybody got that? Yeah? Come on, I know. I just eat that, and you're laying there, and you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that pizza. And then you start to think, oh, maybe this is like a little bit worse than normal. You know, you ever get that? And you're like lying there, it's like 2 in the morning, you're still awake, and it's like still kind of hurting, and you're like, oh, man, maybe it's like not a stomachache. Maybe something worse. And then you like Google your symptoms. Anybody Googled your symptoms? Don't Google your symptoms. Because if you do that, I've got bad news for you. You're dying. You see, that's what's happening here with Obadiah. He's beginning to be like, oh man, I got a bit of a stomachache. And maybe it's worse than normal. And then he Googles his symptoms and he's like, oh crap, I'm dying. You know, like, that's how it begins to trickle down and begins to go down. And so it's just like he's beginning to extrapolate and imagine about something terrible going on. Fear just begins to cloud his heart and mind and paralyze him. Because his circumstances, it causes him to lose focus and imagine the worst possible thing that could happen. And the same is true with you and I. You and I might find ourselves in a dry season at different periods of life that causes us to lose focus of the ways that God has worked, is working, and will work in and through our lives. In that dry season, if we're not careful, it can cause you and I to lose focus and find our hearts and our minds filled with fear to the point where it will begin to paralyze you. Fear will begin to keep you from seeing the ways that God is working already to deliver you and draw you closer to Him. You see, Obadiah missed something important. Obadiah missed something really crucial, really important as he's going along this journey. What Obadiah missed is that God was already working for him before he even left home that morning. Remember? Back in verse 1. God had already spoken to Elijah. Go and show yourself to Ahab. Tell him, help is coming. Rain is coming. Your source is coming. And I believe today somebody needs to hear this. God was already working for you before you even left home this morning. And he's still working for you now. God was already sending help on your behalf before you even left the house. And if you will turn your focus from your stressful situation up towards your source, you will begin to see the ways that God is already working for you to bring things together for our good. Romans 8:28 says that God works all things together for our good. Even the bad things, God? Yeah, even the bad things. I'm going to use those, I'm going to turn those, and I'm going to work them for your good. And your fear will fade away as you begin to look at faith with your source. God was already working before Obadiah even left home. Let me encourage you today. Maybe you're hearing and thinking, man, Zach, I've lost focus. I can feel it. You know, I can feel that my focus isn't on Jesus the way I know it should be. I feel like I know this truth, Zach, that I need to focus more on Jesus. I need to have that attention. Yeah, okay, that's great. But I just don't feel like it right now. I'm not in that place. I feel guilty. I feel far from God. I don't know what to do. I want to encourage you today. Catch this. Don't miss this. If you feel like you're in that dry and desert place and you feel far from God, get this. God will meet you where you are. And he'll cover the distance to get to you. Check it out. Obadiah's lost his focus. He's let fear drive him in search of something he can understand and control. He's afraid. He's desperate. He's searching. But look at what Elijah says to him. Verse 15. Elijah says, look, I swear to you, by the Lord your God, I swear to you that in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day. In whose presence I stand. But I thought it was just you and me here. I thought it was just Obadiah and Elijah. I thought it was just the two of us here. Because by all external appearances, it looks like God isn't here. But Elijah turns to Obadiah and he reminds him of the truth that he's lost focus on. I do not stand alone. I stand in the very presence of the living God. And you are here with me, which means he's here with you. And you may have already forgotten that, Obadiah. You may feel like you're alone. You might feel like you've lost focus in this desert season. But let me encourage you today that even in the desert, the Lord still stands by you. He's told me rain is coming. He's told me help is coming. He's told me he's already working for you. You see, I believe this morning the reason Obadiah was so hesitant to act was because he lost his focus in a desert season. Something God had allowed to draw Obadiah closer to him instead caused him to lose his focus and let fear control his heart. And I don't know about you, that I'm fine to admit that I lose focus sometimes. I lose focus sometimes in my life. You know, I'll find myself on Facebook when I know there's far better things I could be doing with my time. I'll find myself wasting away an evening watching Netflix and YouTube, right? When I know that there are things I could be doing with people and with friends that are far more uplifting and far more encouraging to my soul and to my spirit. Why? Because I feel like I'm overwhelmed and stress exceeds my control. So therefore, I'm seeking a source I can see and know and understand. And I'm running to something that I know I can understand and control instead of the source I know will really truly fill me. But all that really does is just reinforce my fear and take my focus further away from all the things that matter most. You know, you begin to losing focus from what matters. And then when you finally do look around again, you find you're surrounded and your circumstances are far outside of your control, and you begin to get into this cycle of, wow, I'm out of control. What do? Well, I run to something that I can control. Oh, wow, I'm out of control. What do? I run to something that I can control. And we get into this painful cycle and can't even see a solution anywhere. But even though you can look back and see the ways God's been working, moving your life before, in the past, back then, when God moved in the prophets and that sort of thing, but now it just feels dry. But there's a promise to us in Scripture. Jesus says, come to me, all who hunger and thirst. Come, drink freely out of this source, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. If you will come to me, if you're thirsty and tired and stressed out. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he encourages us this way. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to conclude with this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul writes to us in this way. He says, listen, now, dear brothers and sisters, I got one final thing I want to tell you and talk to you about. Here, fix your thoughts. That is, I want you to focus your attention on what is true. Focus your attention on what is honorable. Focus your attention on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. I want you to keep thinking about these things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. And I want you to keep putting them into practice. All of the things that you've learned and that you've received from me, everything that you've heard and saw me doing. And it comes with an incredible promise. It comes with an incredible promise that if you will understand this truth this morning, you will know what it means to have the God of peace with you in every circumstance. Then, if you will learn to understand and fix your focus and your attention on Jesus, even in the hard times, then the God of peace will be present with you. I like the way the Amplified Version puts it. The Amplified Version puts it this way. It says, I want you to think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Center your mind on these things and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, I want you to practice those things. And in your daily life, I want you to focus on them. And the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. I wonder, how often do we focus and set our minds on things that are less than honorable, less than pure, less than lovely, admirable, or right? I know for a fact that I do. I know for a fact that I find myself in this place, but I also know that Jesus is calling me back. He's calling me back to peace. He's calling me back to life. He's calling out to you again to focus on Him once again, to turn your attention and your focus to things above and not to things below, to turn your attention to the source of your peace and your joy. Would you stand with me this morning as we conclude today? I wonder, have you lost focus this morning? And have you allowed fear to begin to creep into your heart? I want to encourage you today just to put into practice what Paul writes. To fix your thoughts, to set your minds, to put into practice these good things you have learned. Maybe you've set your focus on vacation. Maybe you set your focus on work. Maybe you set your focus on just making enough money so that I'm secure and so that I'm happy. You know, maybe it's something as simple as your mind is set too much on TV. And you can spend a little bit more time talking with your spouse. Maybe you've got too much time on Facebook or on YouTube or something similar. You know, listen, I'm not saying these things are bad. That's fine. But let me encourage you today. Set your focus on Jesus. And the promise that we have in Scripture is that the God of peace will be with you wherever you may go. What does that look like in your life to put your focus back on Jesus this week? You know, maybe for some of us today, it means spending just a little bit of time this week set aside in prayer, a little extra time, just putting some worship music on, turn the radio on in your car, you know, at home, just getting away, you're doing the dishes, you're doing some chores, just put some worship music on. Maybe that's what that looks like for you. Maybe for some of us in this place, it's saying, you know what, I really need to get around some Christians more. I really need to get into some relationship with other believers in the church. I got to grab a coffee with somebody. I got to get around some people that will uplift me and focus on those friendships and not on the friendships that are tearing me down. Maybe for you, it's something as simple as saying, you know what, I'm going to put my phone away. I'm going to not be on it so much. Because that is causing me to get into this place of fear and self-doubt and hatred, and I hate the way I feel when I'm in that place. Only you can know what your step is this morning, but let me encourage you today. Whatever God has put on your mind, on your heart, whatever is coming to your spirit, I believe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you today. I believe whatever's come to mind, we might so simply say, oh, you know, it's just my thought, just my idea. No, no, I encourage you. The Holy Spirit speaks with our mind and our emotions. It sounds like your thoughts in the back of your head. I want to encourage you today that if you've got something that came to your mind, that's probably God beginning to urge you forward and say, man, I want this from you. I want this area of your life so I can give you more peace, so I can give you more joy, so I can give you more strength, so I can give you more of myself. And draw you closer to me. Let me encourage you this morning. God has already been working for you even before you got up this morning. And he's coming to turn your focus and your attention back towards him to wipe away fear in your life. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word to us this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are working actively, presently pursuing us to draw us back to you, to show us more of your life and your power in and through our lives. And Lord, you want to turn our focus and attention to see you again, the way that you deserve to be seen in our lives, so that we can face the day, God, with confidence and not with fear. And Lord, we ask today that what you have dropped in our minds and in our hearts, that God, you would stir in us this week. You would remind it of us this week. That God, we would begin to walk that out, to see freedom in our lives from the fear that would so wish to entangle us and pull us back. Lord, turn our focus, turn our attention to you. Turn our attention to things that are lovely, things that are honorable, things that are right. And God, we know that as we do so, you, the God of peace, will be with us. We bless you today. We honor you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me encourage you today as you leave this place. Could you tell somebody about what God was talking to you about this morning? On the way home, in the car ride, or even just before you take off. Talk to somebody. Say, you know, I think God was talking to me about this. And this is the step I'm going to take this week. Be blessed. Have a great Sunday. And I'll see you next week.